Welcome back to the Man Cave, people. I'm your host, Ben Baker. Sitting across the homemade desk from me is the one and the only Tim Holden. Welcome back, Tim.
You know, Ben, there was a I was at the J-Town sports bar one time, years and years ago, and I looked at a plaque on the wall, and it was the in Joplin. The one over there by across from Woody's.
Oh, yeah.
It's no longer there.
J-Town North.
I was having me a cheeseburger.
Yeah, they had some good ones.
And I looked over at a plaque on the wall, and the Jasper County Health Inspector, Tim Holden.
No way. How can you even remember that?
You don't forget when you realize that you are not, in fact,
you do have
the one and only.
Well,
it's a moment of reckoning. I
name is not only the
I appreciate that.
The only indicator.
I do appreciate your sentiment, but there's another one close by.
And of course, Joel Mace is settled into the pleather Craigslist couch. Joel, what's up? What's up, brother?
Hey, it's good to be here.
Don't forget to lift those short clad legs gently every few minutes off of that pleather couch. I'd hate to see you walk out of here with it.
We'll just fetch a spatula.
And together we make up the Man Cave Caucus podcast. So thanks for joining us once again for all the news and entertainment that you can possibly stand, and we're here for it. We've got a jam-packed docket tonight of content, just chomping at the bit to share with you and, you know, just what everybody's talking about this week. I think a lot of times, probably after the show, you're armed then to the hilt with info that makes you look like the smartest person in the room, whether it's your backyard barbecue or the hangout with your friends, and just be up to date with the most, random facts of the week. But first, Tim, I've got a little bit of music for you. And this is truly, truly a classic, all right? So just enjoy this little bit of it's Journey's Don't Stop Believing, but it's sang by Donald J. Trump.
This has to be good.
These guys crack me up. Shout out to, I found this on Eve for America's X account. I think it's actually a TikTok video, but maybe we'll see that stamp in there. But this is great. So let's enjoy.
I would take the midnight train anywhere and absolutely anywhere. On the other hand, just a city boy, maybe New York, but born and raised in South Detroit, they said already. He also took a midnight train going anywhere, maybe everywhere, we don't know. Don't stop believing.
I love it.
It was a beautiful train.
It's so good.
I couldn't resist, you know?
The guy has it, the face nailed down, and his hair is right. He really just needs to get a slight haircut and a little spray tan, and he would probably be able to be the double.
The doppelganger,
yeah,
for DJT. So good.
So good.
Don't stop believing, guys. I think there's still hope for America. You know, a lot of times on the podcast, we have to get a little negative because all the news is negative, it seems. That's why we try to make it funny when we can, right? But as dark and as dismal as it may seem right now, I still have hope. And I still have hope in the American people. I think that there are people out there, I meet them every day, Tim, that love their country. Of course, they're frustrated. They're fed up with this dumpster fire of an administration that has got us, to this place. But it's not just this administration. There's a lot of people who have got us here. But I think it's important. I mean, don't stop believing that people can stop complaining, actually, and start doing something about it. You know, taking the initiative to engage, get involved, take the country back. I still believe that the businessman or businesswoman out there, tired of working their fingers to the bone just to give it, you know, most of it to the government and taxes and have little left to, I mean, buy groceries for their kids and their family. But I still believe that the farmer working daylight till dark, tilling the ground, carefully cultivating the crops is still paying attention to what's going on, paying attention to the inflation that we're dealing with, affecting their livelihood on a daily basis. I still believe that there is sanity, believe it or not, left among those who haven't been indoctrinated into the woke philosophy of, you know, feelings over facts and this extreme obsession with identity politics. And that there's still a majority. I still believe there's a majority of people in the United States of America that believe in the words of the preamble of the Declaration of Independence, where it says this: we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute a new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness.
Mm. I need a snippet of that in a reel. That's powerful stuff.
It is powerful.
If that doesn't move you,
right,
to just want to take up what freedom that we have left and just do something this week.
Right.
Just that's marching orders right there.
Well, here, so again, when the government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it. That is the preamble.
It sounds like treason.
Of the Declaration of Independence.
That sounds like treason. If I put myself for one moment in a leftist mindset, it sounds dangerous.
So the question, of course, is how then? How do we alter or abolish it, right? And I think it's this. First and foremost, making your voice heard and voting to change it, right?
Yeah.
If it's off course, you have the right and the duty to do something about that. Every time that ballot box is open where you can go and vote, and a lot of people don't do that, believe it or not. So that's where we can start. That's where we can begin. And I think if people do get engaged, I still believe that the heart and soul of America loves our country and wants this to go in the right direction. Yep. So there's my positive spin for this week, Tim. Rant over.
Beautiful.
I feel like a little bit after session was over this week.
Did the filibuster ever end?
The Democrat filibuster did end.
Are they still there talking?
It died. The bill died, and it's dead until next session.
I figured they might still be in there watching YouTube videos. And
they might be. Yeah.
Chatting
about. You guys were there for a little bit of
that. Yeah, that was wild.
Wednesday.
I'd never experienced a filibuster, but it was looked like me on a lazy Saturday afternoon.
Just random talking. So I feel a little bit like, you ever watch the Scottish Chiefs or Braveheart?
Yeah.
You ever read the book, though, Scottish Chiefs?
Ben, come on.
I know you don't read books.
Please. No, I love books. I listen to a lot of books, but
That's where Braveheart came from.
Yeah, I took a sabbatical. I'll add that to my Audible
list. It's one of my favorite books of all time. But I felt a little bit like William Wallace, I guess you could say, after this week was over. And that's just, look, wake up, people. Like,
yeah.
You don't get the government you wish for. A wise man once said, you get the government that you deserve.
Mm-hmm.
So that means it's our responsibility to fix it. And I think too many times we blame it on everyone else and everything else rather than realizing that it's our responsibility.
I think the world might be thirsty for a little sanity. And
I think you're right.
If we can divulge some of that before election, maybe, you know, let in, be inviting.
First up,
share those
speaking
red
of
pills.
Speaking of sanity, Harrison Butker this week.
Oh, man.
Kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs has gotten excoriated by the media and the mob on social media this week for a commencement speech that he made for a Catholic college. And so this is crazy. He delivered a commencement speech. I think it was Benedictine College, and it sparked so much controversy this week for the content of what he spoke in that, particularly his views on women's roles and Catholic teachings as well, and among some other things. But the speech drew criticism from, I mean, all sides, it seemed like, even the Catholic Church itself. But despite the backlash, Butker received also support from people like Bill Maher, believe it or not, which we're going to listen to a video of here in a minute. Tavia Hunt, which is the wife of Chiefs CEO Clark Hunt. But it's actually led to some unexpected outcomes, at least I would think for the people who didn't like what he said. But Butker's jerseys are sold out everywhere. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, I saw that.
His jersey's the number one right now. And specifically even women's jerseys with his name on it.
Yeah, they said if you want one, get on the list.
They're selling out like hotcakes. So let's look a little bit into this with some of the video that we have from his speech. I think it's important that we really get into this. I think there's a lot to talk about here. Here's one clip that we'll listen to, and then
in the past few years that I have grown,
we'll talk about another one
more boldly and directly. Because as I mentioned earlier, I have leaned into my vocation as a husband and father, and as a man. To the gentleman here today, part of what plagues our society is this lie that has been told to you that men are not necessary in the home or in our communities. As men, we set the tone of the culture, and when that is absent, disorder, dysfunction, and chaos set in. This absence of men in the home is what plays a large role in the violence we see all around the nation. Other countries do not have nearly the same absentee father rates as we find here in the U.S., and a correlation could be made in their drastically lower violence rates as well. Be unapologetic in your masculinity, fighting against the cultural emasculation of men. Do hard things. Never settle for what is easy. You might have a talent that you don't necessarily enjoy, but if it glorifies God, maybe you should lean into that over something that you might think suits you better. I speak from experience as an introvert who now finds myself as an amateur public speaker and an entrepreneur, something I never thought I'd be when I received my industrial engineering degree. The road ahead is bright. Things are changing, society is shifting, and people young and old are embracing tradition. Not only has it been my vocation that has helped me and those closest to me, but not surprising to many of you, should be my outspoken embrace of the traditional Latin Mass. I've been very vocal in my love and devotion to the TLM and its necessity for our lives. But what I think gets misunderstood is that people who attend the TLM do so out of pride or preference. I can speak to my own experience, but for most people I have come across within these communities, this simply is not true. I do not attend the TLM because I think I am better than others, or for the smells and bells, or even for the love of Latin. I attend the TLM because I believe, just as the God of the Old Testament was pretty particular in how he wanted to be worshipped, the same holds true for us today. It is through the TLM that I encountered order and began to pursue it in my own life.
What do you think?
Never been to TLM, but...
I didn't know that there was an acronym for that, actually.
Traditional Latin Mass.
Yeah, that was something I learned out of that. But I think he's talking about nominal Christianity, right?
Yeah.
Like people that attend church for all the wrong reasons, whether it's a social club or whatever it might be. That was one of the things I think that he was kind of hinting at there.
No, I didn't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater there. But it's I didn't feel like he if you're in denial that it's like the I actually lost a follower this week on Facebook over a reel that I had shared, which I only have three, Ben, so when one goes away you notice. But no, a lady had followed me and then went to looking through my page, which you can imagine could be problematic. But I had shared a thing about the bear in the woods, or a man leaving a child with, or leaving your children with a bear mm-hmm. in the woods, or a man in the woods. And it was just a humorous take on it.
Right.
And I did take the time out of my day to just try to retain my, you know, 33.9 or 33.3% of my following. And I said, you know, this is what he said. And it was a guy that had just taken a funny view on that and said, you know, if you may be more conservative than you think you are, if you feel this way, that you'd, you know, we believe you should protect yourself, blah, blah, blah. And I said, you know, it's the man societally has gotten to a point where it's a, you know, a negative thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
we're facing consequences
yeah,
of that.
And that's all that Harrison saying. Is saying is, you know, that's a, it's a,
yeah, it's not diminishing any other role.
No,
right?
No.
It is saying that if, the role of the man has been diminished.
If we take our role seriously,
the proper role.
We've had this. We had practically a whole podcast about this.
Yep.
If a man is being the man that we're called, the men that we're called to be, a whole lot of things are no longer an issue that we deal with.
Yeah, it would change a lot of things. Here's another part of his speech, which probably was what sparked the most controversy among people, which, again, I don't exactly... I mean, I think I know why it did, but I don't agree with the opposition and why that they think it's controversial. But let's listen up to this part. Here we go.
Lives. I want to speak directly to you briefly because I think it is you, the women, who have had the most diabolical lies told to you. How many of you are sitting here now about to cross this stage and are thinking about all the promotions and titles you are going to get in your career? Some of you may go on to lead successful careers in the world, but I would venture to guess that the majority of you are most excited about your marriage and the children you will bring into this world. I can tell you that my beautiful wife, Isabel, would be the first to say that her life truly started when she began living her vocation as a wife and as a mother. I'm on this stage today and able to be the man I am because I have a wife who leans into her vocation.
Amen.
I'm beyond blessed with the many talents God has given me, but it cannot be overstated that all of my success is made possible because a girl I met in band class back in middle school.
Mm. Super controversial.
The faith, become my wife.
So that was the words that really sparked most of the controversy this week, believe it or not.
That's it's hard to believe.
Right.
I
think it's because people are reading into things that is not what his intention was, what he was trying to say. Again, he's not saying that someone pursuing a career or pursuing that path of happiness or whatever is wrong for doing so, right? He's saying that there is another path that has often been overlooked and people often have been lied to about and saying that it's not one of happiness, and that is getting married, having kids, and staying home with your kids and being a homemaker. And that's the thing that I think a lot of these people don't even really understand because of the indoctrination that is out there about these issues a lot of times when it comes to our education system
yeah.
and even the broken homes and things that people grow up in. I can't speak for those people who have grown up in those kind of situations, but I do know that that path is also one that can be very happy and very fulfilled when it comes to a woman. And that should never be discounted, that path. And I think that's what he was trying to get at with the context of what he was saying.
And I mean, it, when I hear that, it brings back to me back to the fact that it took a probably 12 year or probably nigh on to 10 years of being a father before I really embraced fatherhood. And the most fulfilling thing that I'll ever have an opportunity to, you know, be a part of.
Absolutely.
I thought that the pursuit of success or, you know, all the things, I think that the lie is widespread to women and men. And what he's saying is what I have found to be the most fulfilling thing and what my wife had figured out well before I had, that, I mean, is there a higher calling than our roles as fathers and mothers?
Right.
There isn't.
Well, and that's the thing that, like, when we got married, it was a decision that we made together as a married couple, and that was if we have the ability. When we first got married, before we had kids, we both had jobs.
Yeah.
We both had careers and things that we were working on. But we made the decision once we started having kids that she wanted to be at home with the kids as much as was possible. That doesn't mean she didn't do things out of the home to make money help supplement our income. She did that for many years. But even now that my wife has went back to work full time, she still misses, even though two of our kids are married and gone now, she still misses the time that she has with them at home. It's just something that's so built in and I think built into how God made us. But I think what he was trying to say is that a career and a hyper focus on that path is not the only way to being happy and fulfilled. And that, you know, the more traditional, what people would look at as the more traditional path of happiness shouldn't be discarded, like many have done. And I think sometimes they don't even understand what they're unhappy about, but I think sometimes that figures into it.
Yeah.
And even further, I think in our culture, unfortunately, it has been, that path has been looked down upon and even scorned as another possibility for a woman to find happiness in being married, having children, being at home with their children. And that's unfortunate because I think, again, people may not even realize that missing element that could be a part of their unhappiness.
Yeah. No, I think the pursuit of anything outside of the home pales in comparison to the joy that you will find both man and woman doing what we were called to do. And that's
right,
to be husbands, fathers, and the rest is extra.
Right. So as you can imagine, this has been, the subject of a lot of debate on in the media, on social media throughout this week. But I want to play a video that I thought was interesting of Bill Maher, who I don't agree with very often.
Not very often.
But I think he's actually coming around on some things. I don't know if you have been paying attention to some of his takes in recent years, even with COVID and some things. But and even Trump, actually. Which is quite amazing. But let's play a video of Bill Maher and his comments and see what he has to say about it.
He said, some of you, talking to the women here, some of you may go on to lead successful careers in the world. Okay, that seems fairly, modern. But I would venture to guess that the majority of you are most excited about your marriage and the children you will bring into this world. I don't see what the big crime is. I really don't. And I think this is part of the problem people have with the left, is that lots of people in this country are like this. Like he's saying, some of you may go on to lead successful careers, but a lot of you are excited about this other way that everybody used to be. And now can't that just be a choice too? And I feel like they feel very put upon, like there's only one way to be a good person, and that's to get an advanced degree from one of those asshole factories like Harvard.
Right.
Bill Maher's a guy that I grew up watching, and like a far left guy.
Mm-hmm.
And the Democrat Party got up and left. Another Tulsi Gabbard, another person that they just got up and left. And now he's a centrist.
He is. And I think even more so, like, I do think that he does try to be objective. Now, there's some times where I don't think he is. But you're right. And I think that's it. Like, the party has moved so far off the reservation on a lot of these things that even somebody like Bill Maher seems like a centrist, you know?
It's like, have you seen the video about, it was done back when Jimmy Carter was in the office. I think it was an SNL about how everybody was going to be millionaires and you could have a, everybody could wear $1,000 suit. And they were, it was when inflation was rampant back then. Mm. And I feel like everybody has potential to be a right-wing conservative if the left just keeps on going.
Right.
It's inflation. It's just like political inflation.
Well, and you know, like there's a lot to be said about this, and we could probably do a whole podcast on this, and we might, but you know, there's a certain facet of the way that politics work and the way that philosophy works that if you go enough far to the left or far to the right, you end up coming back to the same point, right?
Yeah.
And I think the problem is both parties right now, to some degree, with some aspects, are at that point of meeting again, which is kind of scary to think about, but I think it's very close. But back to Harrison Butker's comments, the NFL actually made an official statement regarding his speech, clarifying, you know, that it was made in his personal capacity, which of course it was. You know, he's speaking at a commencement graduation ceremony. He wasn't speaking for the NFL in the words that he made, but they felt it necessary to clarify that he was not speaking for the NFL. You know, I don't think there was any need actually to clarify that from the NFL, but the statement was made by Jonathan Bean, who apparently is, I found this out, the chief DEI officer for the NFL.
Nice.
That makes sense.
Right. So that is how that has turned out.
Spineless.
How many statements you think they made about, like, the NFL players that, I don't know,
Ray
like,
Rice.
Murdered people?
Well, O.J. Simpson, Ray Rice. They don't make statements about that.
That in their official capacity or... Right.
I saw a did you see the one where Travis Kelce did a commencement speech?
No. Oh yeah.
And
opened the beer and
cracked a beer,
said
at graduation.
You need a party
and,
yeah.
Yeah. That
right.
I don't think they
nobody
felt the
said
need
anything
to
about that.
Speak out on that.
Right.
Antonio Cromartie has 10 kids from 10 different women.
Right.
No one said the NFL didn't make a
statement.
Didn't hear a sound from them.
What was that guy back in the 80s that, like, after, I think it was after he left the NFL, but he joined some, like, black supremacist cult. You remember that?
I shall Google.
You could look it up, but, and then he, like, I think he killed, like, 6 or 7 people. It was, like, some kind of ritual that was a part of that cult that he was in to kill white people. Just distinctly remember reading a story about that once, and it came to mind when I was thinking about this, which I do think it was after he was out of the NFL, but
I don't see anything about that, but I brought it up, and
do you remember the Elon?
I can't remember his name.
And here comes Aaron Hernandez. I don't remember the NFL releasing anything on Aaron Hernandez.
It goes back further than
murdered
that.
Murdered somebody.
It was in the 80s. I think he played for the St. Louis Cardinals, actually, the football team, in like 1979, but I can't remember his name. Robert Rozier, right there. Yep, that's him. That's him. Yep, I think murdered like 6 or 7 people, white people.
He was a bad dude.
Corn Pop was a bad dude.
Corn Pop.
But anyway, that just was something that came to mind whenever I was thinking about that. NFL making a statement, you know.
But this guy sharing traditional wholesome views.
Right.
Gets distanced from the NFL.
And that's the thing. I think that is, you know, it really does show where our culture is right now, that someone who is speaking the truth is the one who is attacked the most in the culture that we're in. But nevertheless.
Do you remember this tweet by Elon Musk?
I do, yes. talking about
you were talking about getting back
the party
to the
moving
center.
And he becomes
yeah,
the center.
He was in the same spot and then they're hollering bigot.
Yes.
Do you remember that one, Joel?
I don't, but I'm super interested in that right now, actually. I've been looking into it a lot.
I think we ought to take a break, turn the air back on for a few minutes. So we're in the man cave, and here it is now officially summer here in the man cave, and we can't turn the air conditioner on because it makes too much noise, but we also are just
we're all
roasting in here.
We're all sweating like conservatives on election day.
So we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Had to take a little breaky wakey because it's getting really hot in the man cave. And to turn the air conditioner on causes a lot of noise, so we can't do that.
We've actually changed the name to the man sauna. It's going
to
be.
I don't know how we're going to make it. It only got up to what, like 87 or 88 today?
Yeah, it's going to be unfortunate when we have to redo all of the art, which we need to add Joel in, yeah. But the man sauna. Caucus.
Not exactly the right feel that we're going for.
Sessions out.
Yeah. So next up, a new NBC documentary is to be released, of course, in conjunction with June Pride Month. It's called Queer Planet. Listen up.
The paparazzi really are everywhere.
Everything you were told as a kid is wrong.
You make me want to.
Gay penguins, bisexual lions, sex-changing clownfish.
This is a queer planet.
Queerness has always existed. It's only in humans that we have such a stigma about it.
Please. The idea of just having two fixed sexes is clearly out of style.
Mother Nature is pretty open-minded. Sex is not just for reproduction.
It's clear that no matter where you look on our planet, nature is full
Hang
of
in there,
queer Tim. Surprises.
To be honest, we should all probably get laid a little more than we do.
So,
what happened to the crocodile hunter?
It's going to premiere on Peacock. Exploring the diverse spectrum of animal sexuality and unconventional behaviors across the natural world. Narrated by Andrew Rannells, who, surprise, surprise, is openly gay and an activist for the LGBTQIA++ community. But it delves into the rich variety of LGBTQ+ behaviors in animals, challenging the traditional view of fixed sexes and highlighting the openness of Mother Nature to queer surprises. The documentary features insights from various scientists and aims to shed light on the often overlooked or misunderstood aspects of sexuality in the animal kingdom. Personally, I think it just seems like another attempt to try to normalize this and market toward a younger audience with something that looks like something out of, you know, a National Geographic feature or something.
I think they actually changed the channel. It's now National Pornographic.
It's unbelievable what they're trying to do with this. And aside from the fact that I don't think the premise is correct, right? Would you agree to that at all? The way in which nature behaves and operates cannot be an accurate comparison to the human species.
Yeah.
For one thing.
I mean.
Which I guess if you subscribe to evolution, you know, it would be somewhat easier to try to make that connection maybe. But I still think science, actual science, and biology wouldn't agree with the very premise of what they're trying to do with that. What do you think about that?
You know, I feel like that nature would cease to exist if this premise
was correct. Right. So they've got, you know, pictures of male lions with male lions and all these other things in that premiere video. But nevertheless, I think it's another attempt to indoctrinate, from what I can tell. So there's that.
And I thought the Bloodhound Gang was kind of edgy.
Please bring back the Bloodhound Gang.
Right. I'm good. I'm just saying how far we've fallen.
I hate to even have to talk about this kind of stuff.
I truly do.
But
like, we're,
it's not satire, people. This is really happening. June the 6th.
You shouldn't have to explain this to adults.
Right. Exactly. You shouldn't have to explain this.
We're drawing nigh to Juneteenth.
Right.
I mean, the word, it, could we skip June?
Yep.
Could we just skip June?
A whole month. All right. So anyway, we'll leave that there for now. But next up, AOC.
Moving on.
And Jasmine Crockett, who is a congresswoman from South Dallas, Texas. And AOC is, I think, from the Bronx, right?
Somewhere.
I think so.
She's
originally.
She's a proud bronchitis.
AOC from the Bronx. And then you got MTG from Georgia that get into a fight. I think it's in a committee hearing meeting, actually. So think about this.
If you ask Google Gemini for Davy Crockett's descendants.
Nope, it's not. It's not.
Oh.
Straight out the Alamo.
Right. Jasmine Crockett is an African-American congresswoman from South
Google
Dallas.
Google Gemini. Show us.
AOC is.
Soldiers from the Alamo.
From the Bronx and Hispanic. And then you have MTG from Georgia. So I'm trying to set this up. Can you see the diversity that is going to be in this?
So much inclusion.
So much.
MTG equity. Ends up making fun of Crockett's fake eyelashes in this hearing. We're going to play this video in a second. And all hell breaks loose after that. I mean, that's one thing that you should know better. Like, don't ever, ever, under any circumstances, ever make fun of an African-American woman's fake eyelashes, right?
Crossing the line.
You just don't do that.
If fake eyebrows ever come in, I'm getting some crazy ones, Ben.
They're in.
They are definitely in.
You haven't been to an Ulta beauty store lately.
I had an inch and a quarter long eyebrow hair, natural. Almost weekly, my wife rips one unceremoniously from my face.
You're turning into my dad.
Yeah, that's what happens when you get old.
Now, if ear hair comes out your ear,
you don't have that yet?
No, I do. No, if it comes in. Ben, I spend at least 30 minutes a week with my little ear hair thing. Just somebody's got to do better.
It's a real problem.
Have you used an ear hair and nose hair trimmer?
No. You know how that there was like a breakthrough in the razor industry, like back in the 90s.
Yeah, Gillette's like, we got 79
two blades.
Three
blades, and then it went to five blades.
Three.
You know, for the ear hair trimmer, that has not happened
No,
yet,
it's like taking
a
chainsaw.
Market,
it's like using a beaver to cut a miter joint. Thank you, Sam Zerbal. Pete, my brother Pete and Sam dropped that on me. Anytime I show them a little woodworking that I did, they ask if there was a motorcycle done went by. They ask me if I used a beaver to cut it.
Mm-hmm. Ouch.
That's never a good thing in the trim world. So this really looks more like a SNL sketch, or I don't know, maybe something from the Missouri Senate. Rather than
it
Congress,
was,
but
I was so disappointed with Missouri.
It's one for the
setting
books.
Up in the what do they call it? The gallery.
The gallery. The upper gallery.
Okay, so was my wife. She was upset at their tactics, And I kind of drew a maybe that's just the bright, me looking at the brighter side of things. I kind of drew a, I'd never got to see
filibuster,
and I kind of it was very enlightening.
Yeah. I couldn't help but think that my brother Phil would be the king of filibustering. He says that he's the king of smooth Phil, and that is he says he's the king of the smooth Phil, and is what he does is he decides to spackle nail holes in trim where you don't have to sand it. Mm-hmm. But he lies to himself because
it never works.
You always overfill.
Yeah.
Phil.
So, by the way, we did have a representative on the floor this week after y'all left that told another state rep in a debate on the floor. So it was a African-American woman representative speaking to a white woman representative. And she told her to take her white privilege and just sit down on the floor of the house.
Take your white privilege and shove it. I ain't working with you no more.
And so you can imagine what happened with that.
That probably went over like making light of the fake eyelashes.
Yeah. So let's look into what happened at Congress in this hearing. Just you can't even make this up. Listen up.
I'd like to know if any of the Democrats on this committee are employing Judge Mershon's daughter.
That's MTG speaking.
Please tell me what that has to do with Merrick Garland.
And that's Crockett.
Oh, Goldman. That's right. He's advising. Okay.
Was her name Debbie Crockett by any chance?
Do you know what we're here for? You know we're here about AG.
I don't think you know what you're...
So MTG seems a little bit confused about what's happening. And she makes this comment. Well, Crockett chimes in as like, do you know what we're here for? Okay. So that's who's talking there.
You're here for...
Well, you the one talking about... I
think your fake eyelashes are messing up.
No, ain't nothing.
Hold on. Order.
Mr. Chairman.
That's beneath even
you.
Order.
Against the order of your committee.
Even you.
I do have a point of order, and I would like to move to take down Ms. Green's words. That is absolutely unacceptable. How dare you...
So AOC chimes in defense of Crockett toward MTG.
Debbie.
Dumbest person.
Of another person.
Are your feelings
Move
hurt?
Her words down.
Oh, girl, Crockett. Baby girl. Oh, really?
Don't even play.
Baby girl.
We're gonna,
I don't think
we are going to move and we're going to take your words down. Thank
I second that motion.
So who will have to.
Debbie.
Ms. Green agrees to strike her words.
Fake
I believe she apologize. No.
Perry, okay, hold on. Then after Mr. Perry's going to be recognized, then Ms. Green.
I'm not apologizing.
Well, then,
okay,
you're
reserve
not
the right to object.
Words.
I am Mr. not Perry. Apologizing.
Now let's go.
Circus.
Why don't you debate me?
So James Comer is the chairman. And I mean, he's about as confused as a termite in a yo-yo at
Ben.
This point.
I am not in politics, but if you get into a wild weekend and I could rent you a ringleader suit.
Circus ringleader suit.
If things get weird in JC, yeah. Lord willing, you're taking your term out, I'm going to get you a ringleader suit.
It would be very appropriate.
This circus right here, that's all it's missing is a lion and a bear on a unicycle.
Oh, it gets better. Listen up.
Are there any dress code rules for
Mr. Chairman?
Congress?
The minority
self-evident.
You're not. You don't have enough intelligence.
Out of order. Chair recognizes Mr. Perry.
Okay, move to strike
I'd
the.
Like to
I move to strike
words
the ladies' words.
Well.
I move to strike
order.
The ladies' words again.
That's two requests to strike.
Oh, they cannot take the word.
There's another motion to strike her words again. Please
right, okay,
get your
here's,
members
here's
under control.
Here's the correct apology, Ms. Green. Do you ask unanimous consent? Do you agree to unanimous consent to strike your words?
I repeat again for the second time. Yes, I'll strike my words, but I'm not apologizing.
Without objection. Without
not
objection.
Apologizing.
Mr. Chair, point of order.
Who's?
It's me.
These guys. Look at their faces. They're just like, really? Are we doing this right now? And Jamie Raskin is the congressman to the left there, and he's a lunatic half the time as well. But James Comer has trouble hearing, and so you can imagine how chaotic this would be for him. But
Ms. Crockett?
I'm just curious, just to better understand your ruling, if someone on this committee then starts talking about somebody's bleach blonde, bad-built butch body, that would not be engaging in personalities, correct?
A what now?
Chairman, I make a motion to strike those words.
I don't think that's a
I just realized.
I'm trying to find clarification on what quality.
Chairman,
I
motion to
I
strike
no
those
idea
words.
What you just said.
We're not gonna do this. Look, you guys earlier literally just
you just voted to do
it. First, so you don't want to talk about
this.
To
do it.
I'm trying to get clarification. Look, it calm down. Calm down.
No. Because.
What was that you said earlier about the government that you deserve?
Right. Mm-hmm. These people were elected by the people to be here, Joel.
It's embarrassing.
Which would you guesstimate?
You're embarrassing me.
Would you wear a medium, a large, or an extra large in a...
in the circus costume?
Fun check ringmaster costume. They're only $49.95
on
Amazon.
Depends on if it's from Temu or not.
This reminds
me... I hear that.
This reminds me of when Ricky Bobby's running around on the racetrack,
yes,
thinking his suit's on fire and he's in his underwear, and his wife and his friend's like, hey, come back, you're embarrassing me.
Our audience probably thinks we're watching the season finale of Real Housewives.
Yeah, with the letter Jerry Springer
Richmond
showed in there.
Is this
thrown
the,
in there.
Is this the
Sorry.
Government I deserve?
Richmond, north of Richmond. I will say that... Can you point to me, where's Missouri? Because I need to know who that the folks that I did put up here.
None of these people are from
not
Missouri. So there's
if Josh Hawley was in that room, he would have straight. Oh,
he's,
never mind.
Yeah,
wrong room. But
wrong room.
If Eric Burleson was there, he would bring some sanity
was
to this
he there?
Conversation. I don't think. I don't know. I don't think so.
Eric, we need
some
you.
Special committee.
Right.
I'm going to
so
have the Burleson.
Let's finish this, and then we're going to talk about it.
You know the Batman emblem? We need the Burleson emblem
yes.
to just shine off the roof of the Capitol.
Right. Bring some sanity.
Because this
I
is what y'all
right.
do. So I'm trying
hey,
to get your
Hey, Ms. Crockett, you're not recognized. Ms. Crockett.
I can't hear you with your
and
yelling.
You don't want
calm
me to
down.
Be,
no. Can you please calm
don't
down?
Don't tell me to calm down.
Calm down.
Because y'all talk
calm
noise,
down.
And then you
can't
control. Because if I
Look,
come,
chairman,
if I
can
come and talk shit about her, y'all don't have a problem.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Chairman.
All right, Chair. Chair,
I know
okay.
Why you're
Order. Chair
like
now
that.
What a joke.
Okay,
I'd like to know if any of the Democrats
I
on
thought
this
a
committee
filibuster
are
at the Jeff City was bad.
I thought the Man Cave Caucus when we get it going gets a little bad.
Yeah, when we cut loose.
They make us look sane.
Right.
They make us look orderly.
AOC, girl, baby girl.
Baby girl.
Don't even play.
I think there was a little bit of appropriation going on there.
Look at AOC's glasses. They look like George
I
Bush's
was,
glasses.
That's all I could. I've been stuck on those dadgum glasses for the last 15 minutes of our
What's that guy
time.
That was on Netflix? He ate the people.
Jeffrey Dahmer.
JD.
Those are JD.
Yep, for
you
sure.
Know,
or David Koresh.
I had some
there
from
you go.
Waco.
I had some Koresh glasses to go with my hair for a while, for about 3 years. And I dropped them in a... I had a fire sprinkler go off in my face.
Mm.
Dropped my Ray-Ban Koresh glasses. And I feel like I lost part of my identity.
Mm-hmm. Here's what's funny. So then, of all people, Lauren Boebert chimes in and apologizes to the American people for what happened.
Well, at least somebody felt bad about this.
If
sham.
Lauren Boebert's the voice of sanity in the room...
You're in the wrong room. You know, if you're the smartest person in the room, you might be in the wrong room.
Just
situation.
Just another day at Capitol Hill, people. Nothing to see.
There should be a new song written about this on
it's
the
important
you know, the,
stuff's getting done.
You know the Capitol Hill song? I think it was an Alvis.
I'm just a bill.
I'm
Capitol
just
Hill.
A bill. Yeah.
So listen to Lauren Boebert.
I just want to apologize to the American people. I don't think that this is the best use of our time when we are squabbling. It's one thing to have fun and laugh as members of Congress and try to find humor or some sort of lightheartedness in what we are doing. But when things get as heated as they have, it's unfortunately an embarrassment on our body as a whole. And so I just want to personally apologize to the American people for that.
Wow.
Right.
Make out in a crowded theater. Lauren Boebert is the voice of reason.
All right.
That's a little photo of the day I lost my Ray-Bans.
That was a little update from Capitol Hill. You know, things are going well, right? The government.
Yeah.
It's in good hands.
Got it going. On.
So next up, Diddy, or wait, is it P. Diddy? I can't remember.
I just had a billion-dollar idea I'm willing to share with a low-hanging fruit network.
I love Tim's
ideas. Tim's weekly groundbreaking idea.
It's a miracle that I have a net worth of $57, but because I have a billion-dollar idea on the regular.
Mm-hmm.
You remember the Walmart one.
Mm-hmm.
Still not happened.
Mm-hmm.
But the Real Housewives of D.C.
Oh, man. That would be golden.
Gold!
I've said that even a reality show of people in Jefferson City would be well-watched.
For sure.
But DC would even be more so.
Yeah, it would be ridiculous.
I mean, the characters write this. I mean, they write it, right?
I can name three that you have pure fodder,
mm-hmm.
which is of what America consumes best.
Yeah.
Our day is coming. Yes. I'm sorry. No. No.
You have to be willing to throw all dignity to the wind if you do a reality show. Which could be very lucrative, but there's that dichotomy of like,
I can't think of a less dignified circumstance than what I just witnessed. And that was not, I mean, they didn't even have any, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this was the pilot. And we didn't know.
Oh,
I see.
This could have been the
pilot.
They're
setting us up.
What a premiere.
What a premiere is right.
I send this into any network other than, I think even Fox would run with it.
Mm-hmm.
Any network, I've got a show.
Very possible. So we got to move on from the Desperate Housewives of D.C.
I've only got two followers on X, but you should share this.
Are any
video.
Of those women wives, though?
It doesn't really matter.
Okay.
I don't know that.
I don't know.
Wife is a loose term on those shows, I'm pretty sure.
I don't know if Crockett is currently married, but I don't think MTG is, and I don't think AOC is. And
what was her real first name?
Crockett is married.
Okay.
I came across her.
I don't think earlier. Boebert is either right now, currently.
No, she's definitely single.
She's sure working hard on not being single.
Congresswoman from Colorado.
Okay. But if you could post that to your followers, because I just don't have anything, just
Jared
share
Crockett.
That video and say the real, pilot
okay.
for the, and just see if any networks pick it up.
Here it goes. All right. So next up, Diddy is in the news again.
Oh my God.
And, a video that surfaced this week showed Sean Diddy Combs physically assaulting his ex-girlfriend.
How did he keep that under wraps for 8 years, is Mike?
I think it was actually released earlier, but it's making its rounds again, is the way I understood
okay.
it. So Cassie Ventura in a hotel hallway in 2016. Let's watch
is
this video.
Is she related to Jesse?
Jesse Ventura, the body?
The Jesse the body?
I don't know.
Gotta be.
I really don't know on that.
I'm gonna Joel, resident Googler, you're back.
I'm gonna go ahead and say no.
Don't.
I mean, I'll Google it if you want me to.
That is a fact that is not yet a fact, but could be.
They don't come
Cassie,
from the same origins.
Oh, Well, Jesse could have gotten around to.
Yeah, I don't think they're related. But so this footage that's obtained by CNN actually depicted Combs chasing Ventura, grabbing her, engaging in violent behavior, kicking, punching, all of this in a hotel hallway, has reignited discussions about Combs' alleged history of abuse and control. And there's a lawsuit that was filed by Ventura in November of 2023, which was settled the day after it was filed. So obviously Diddy made it rain with some cash.
Got on top of that quick.
Probably what happened. But the outcome of this resurface video has been significant because it's led to increased scrutiny of Combs, who's under the spotlight right now, especially with the Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office, calling these images extremely disturbing, difficult to watch. However, due to the statute of limitations, the office stated that if the conduct depicted in the video occurred in 2016, they would be unable to charge Combs, as the conduct would have occurred beyond the timeline where a crime of assault can be prosecuted. So, you know, there's a lot of this stuff going on with Diddy right now. Anyway, this federal sex trafficking investigation, you know, they led raids on his properties in Los Angeles and all that. He disappeared for a period of time, but it's just added more urgency to this ongoing investigation. Highlighting these allegations and the implications of those allegations for his public image and legal standing. And then recently also, I don't know if you saw this, but Jaden Smith, which is the son of actor Will Smith, has accused his own father, Will Smith, of forcing him to engage in homosexual activities at parties hosted by Sean Diddy Combs. And so that added a whole new layer of controversy to Diddy's already tumultuous public image, which has been marred by various allegations of sexual misconduct and control. It just seems like to me, I mean, the depth of the depravity that seems to be prevalent in Hollywood and with these elite artists is just sickening. If this is true, I can't even imagine how messed up these kids are. Because of what they have been exposed to by their own parents even and others in these social circles that they are a part of. But that's the update on Diddy Combs this week. So.
Go ahead. No, I better not.
You think Diddy was on Jeffrey Epstein's...
The Epstein list?
List?
I'd say it's very possible.
I'd say he'd... If I was a betting man,
right? If we knew what that list was,
well, he might have been batting for the wrong team to be on the island.
Yeah,
was it specifically a?
From
seems like most of it was.
Yeah,
heterosexual, but. I mean, I don't know. That's going on with a lot of these Hollywood elites?
Seems like Diddy's got no limits.
And apparently Will Smith.
He had a song called I Need a Girl. And I don't think...
I don't think that was real accurate.
I think he might have been posturing.
You guys remember the No Limit Soldiers?
No. No. I had to actually...
Rap group from the 90s.
I had to Google a Diddy song, and...
I couldn't tell you a single song from
I didn't recognize
P. Diddy.
Any of them,
oh,
but I
what the?
Scrolled across I Need a Girl. They told me he was one of the most influential rappers.
I couldn't tell you a Diddy song, but what's that? The Puff Daddy video
That's
the Notorious B.I.G.
Oh, was he part of them?
It's like a...
I think the only one that I recognized might have been I'll Be Missing You.
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah.
But I was
thinking
it was
I'll Be
Watching You. I
have no idea, guys, anything you're talking about right now.
Yeah,
but.
I'm pretty lost, too. I never was a big, I mean, I wasn't ever into
He's a rich rapper, though.
He
sure.
is a rich rapper. Still free, right? He's not been arrested?
No, not yet. Not as of yet.
Do we know where he's at?
I don't.
I don't think the FBI knows where he's at.
Last I heard, he was He was on the lam. Let's just say that. Next up, Kristi Noem is banned
from back in the news
about roughly 20% of the state where she is the governor in South Dakota. And no, it's not because she shot her dog and her goat in the gravel pit either. Apparently, South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem found herself in hot water after making allegations connecting tribal leaders to drug cartels. She claimed that the cartels had infiltrated reservations in her state, leading to murders and other crimes. Noem even suggested that some tribal leaders were benefiting from the cartel's presence. So in response to her accusations, seven different tribes in South Dakota have banned her from their land, totaling about 20% of the state. So these tribes have, of course, vehemently denied Noem's accusations, calling them unfounded and offensive. They argue that her comments have not only insulted their communities, but also failed to address the real issues affecting their reservations. The tribes have called for Kristi Noem to issue a public apology and present a plan of action to support and empower the Lakota people through policy and legislation. Now, so despite the backlash, Noem has doubled down on her claims, insisting that the cartels are in fact operating on the reservations and that tribal leaders should take action against them. So that has further strained her relationship with the tribes, leading to these bans of her being on their land. I don't think I've ever heard of a governor being banned from
20%
so much
of
their own state that they govern, I don't think.
If I may interject, I have heard for years that, I might get canceled for this, that the tribes have so because they've got so much land, they have allowed the cartels to come and grow illegal marijuana operations on their land. I don't know. I don't know. I've heard that in intelligence briefings, though.
Now that's probably not quite as heinous of a crime as it was.
Right. But I mean,
you still have to grow it legally.
Right. Yeah. There's still regulations as to even doing that in
some
a state that allows it.
Our Googler has about 300 Kristi Noem photos up on the 80-inch TV.
Yeah.
And she kind of looks like a mix between, in some of the pictures that are a little less flattering, she kind of looks like a mix between Steven Tyler and an artist rendering from a courtroom of Stormy Daniels.
Oh, no. I don't think it's anywhere.
No. There's some.
Even close to that, Tim.
The former governor of Alaska?
Sarah Palin.
She's got a little Palin-esque look to her.
She just looks a little more haggard in some than others. The see that one there? The gray? Yeah. She kind of looks like Steven Tyler there.
Yeah, I see it. I do see it.
But
oh, how the mighty have fallen.
Yeah.
Once close.
It may just be in light of the nominee. May just be in light of the I shot the doggy, but I didn't really shoot the goat. So, I don't know. Like
in her tell-all book.
I can't imagine though. Here's the thing I believe about this. Like I can't imagine that Kristi Noem, as governor, would double down on this if it weren't true.
Yeah.
I don't.
I'm not questioning her. I was just making an observation of some of the pictures are less.
So regardless of how the tribes are trying to respond to that, I just don't think a governor would make that kind of accusation without it being true.
Some kind of substance.
I would be on the side of Kristi Noem saying that there's probably some stuff going down on the reservations there that may not be quite legal.
Is she in the running?
No.
Or VP?
No.
I don't think at this point.
The dog thing.
I think my prediction is... It's probably not going to come to
my
fruition.
My VP chance.
And I still think she'd make a good one.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't have any problems
maybe,
with Kristi
maybe
Noem.
She should just sit down and smoke the peace pipe.
With these tribes. I didn't have the...
Is that the best way?
The cartel marijuana-laced peace pipe.
Right. I know that
Let's
I don't...
work this out.
And honestly, she took a bad rap off the dog thing, but...
where we're from. Who hasn't shot a few innocent dogs?
Hey, I've found that they're
good people on both sides.
Yes. Oh yeah, I don't. I've found people on both sides. I've found that I don't have the testicular fortitude to shoot a dog point blank. But
we did go through that.
Yeah.
You know,
I think they could work it out.
I'm also not VP material, so
right
here we go.
So next up, the White House claims the border is secure. Which we all know is a complete... can we all breathe
a cumulative sigh of relief?
Thank you, Joe. Oh, so something so funny. Quick rabbit trail. So the budget chairman is Cody Smith from Carthage in Missouri.
Yeah.
And his chief of staff guy that works on the budget, his name is Joe. And so, you know, all week long we're debating the budget and all that. They keep bringing up, the Democrats kept bringing up, thank you, Joe, referring to Joe Biden, you know. And so we made some comments about Joe being brought up so many times, thanking Joe for all of his hard work on the budget.
That's
so
good. That is good stuff.
Way to go, Joe.
Shoehorned the Democrats into being right.
That's right.
Well, thank you, Joe, for your hard work.
The border being secure, I think we all know, is a complete bald-faced and probably also a bold-faced lie. I'm not sure what the difference is. Maybe Joel can find that. But I think there is a difference between a bald-faced lie and a bold-faced lie. But I think he covers both of them with this claim that the border is secure. However, here's what the FBI is warning us. And that is that ISIS operatives in the U.S. could be making attacks on pride parades in the month of June.
Oh, yeah. We have concerns here.
This may be quite the quandary for the pro-Palestine protest crazies, right?
I'm going to go out on a limb and think that a bald-faced lie is a lie that's a little bit low on testosterone.
I do know.
And a bold-faced lie... it's just the opposite.
So, regarding the pro-Palestine protest crazies, who many of them, I think, seem to think that Hamas is pro-LGBTQ as well, which I can tell you they are not, in fact. What's it say, Joel?
It says both bold-faced and bald-faced are used in common English. But bald-faced is decidedly the preferred term in published edited text.
Okay.
But that's spelt
bald.
Barefaced, it says, is the oldest.
That's old English.
And
there.
It's still in use. We need to bring that back.
We shall.
That's a barefaced lie.
We
gentlemen.
Shall. Thou shalt
to report
use bareface.
To report otherwise would be a bald-faced lie.
Oh, that's good. Mm. I see what they did there.
So,
Merriam-Webster.
Why? What's a bald-faced?
That's a good question.
Maybe I've heard that men with beards tend to be trusted more.
With beards?
Yeah.
Okay.
For some reason.
Hmm.
Softens the...
Have you guys noticed that there hasn't been a bald president elected since, was it Eisenhower?
Probably Eisenhower. I can think of Van Buren was pretty bald, wasn't he?
Hmm.
The American people don't like bald people.
What a shame.
So, what were we talking about?
We really hit a rabbit trail here.
We apologize. Ben, I apologize personally. No, it was way before Eisenhower.
So,
we were three rabbit trails
Biden
back.
Biden says the border is secure.
Yes.
Right? But the FBI says, well, there may be some attacks from ISIS operatives in the country regarding pride parades in the month of June. So
ISIS is going to attack pride parades?
That's what they're warning us. So here's what the FBI says leading up to the month of June. Foreign terrorist organizations may seek to exploit LGBTQIA plus minus related events. It does actually say that. Plus minus. Okay. Related events and venues, including events during the 2024 Pride Month celebrated in June. The FBI and Department of Homeland Security warned in a recent public service announcement. I quote, Organizations like ISIS may seek to exploit increased gatherings associated with the upcoming June 2024 Pride Month, according to the announcement which the agencies issued last week. The announcement added that the threat is compounded by the current heightened threat environment in the United States. What would that be? What would be the current heightened threat environment in the United States? Anyway, and then they finish by saying the threats could come online, in person, or in the mail, according to the FBI and the DHS, Department of Homeland Security. So, yeah.
I'm going to go ahead now and be the first to say it, that it would be a mistake for ISIS to attack their allies in the LGBT AQI plus minus
for sure
community.
Right.
It would be a social mistake.
I'm going to I want to enact a guys, I got lost. I done left the room and got I got Googled. Are you I'm going to coin the phrase I've been Googled.
Okay.
I was on my own little rabbit trail while you guys were talking important things. And I Googled bald presidents.
Okay. How many?
And Martin Van Buren popped up, which was the one that had popped into my head.
But he had the nice sideburns, though, right?
Yeah, it says yeah. Van Buren had a bald head with white hair and sideburns. They were on that. Then it went to Wikipedia, and it said list of the United States presidents with facial hair. Mm-hmm. I was still with them. I thought, you know, this is pertinent. Third on the list.
What's it say?
In the black lettering.
Some bald female presidents include.
They lost me. I got Googled.
Wait, finish the thought?
So it's.
Says some bald female presidents include.
A different country.
No, no, no.
Siri, we didn't ask.
They're ganging up on us.
Definition of different.
I've been Googled. It says Ayanna Pressley, a Massachusetts congresswoman.
She's one of the squad.
Who has alopecia, an autoimmune disease. What does this have to do with bald presidents?
That's interesting.
Anyways, I'm sorry. I was Googled out of this room.
That's Wikipedia.
Google Jim and I hijacked the show.
For sure. No, and I feel like I was used as a tool.
They too high in there with
yeah,
their
I was Googled.
Future female president.
It's going to be a future that's coin bald. Term that you were Googled because you were just trying to get some pertinent information on a little rabbit trail you were going on.
Right.
And you find out that there were bald presidents from Massachusetts.
Can't well, that's news it. To a lot of us.
Anyways, learn something. Generative AI is experimental is the last thing. I'm going to skip down and we're going to circle back to the pertinent information that
are they
we were talking
that
about.
That person is an AI?
Oh, well,
president?
I think so because maybe.
Wow.
Maybe Gemini is still on the loose.
Yeah.
Anyways, where were we?
Well, we finished up talking about that when it came to
people.
The border being secure, which it obviously is not.
Clearly.
If the FBI is saying that ISIS operatives in the U.S. could be making attacks.
We did let them in through the secure border, though.
Yeah. Hey, I'd just like to point out before we move on.
Can we switch to DuckDuckGo?
Over my dead body, will ISIS attack our LGBTQ community?
That's right.
Community.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'll defend that any day of the week. If ISIS is here, I don't care if they are attacking
it. I'm going to paraphrase both of you, and it's going to be that the only thing I hate more...
Would that be
terrorist.
A paraphrase?
I put those words in their mouths. It was a funny... Circling back.
Circle back.
So,
circle the wagons. Circle our LGBTQ wagons.
We're off the rails.
Next up.
Back to the program.
Our almost weekly news from the leftist utopia of San Francisco. The thieves have cut the copper out of the Tesla charging stations in San Fran. So watch this.
One.
Switch it.
Cut all the Tesla charging stations.
Switch a video.
You would think that it's a protest or some
no
symbol of activism.
It's called it's crack.
Not. It's the Bay Area. These things have a load of copper in them.
Oh, my goodness. Hey,
just like that.
This segues directly into my stock tip of the week.
Right.
Blink charging.
Okay.
Been in it for a while.
Write it down, folks. I will say your stock tip from last week is doing really well.
Let it percolate.
Okay.
Just don't get in a hurry.
Not saying that I sold everything and put everything into that, but if I did,
but
I would say it's doing well.
Blink charging is another one that I'm in long-term options, and it's they just actually, I don't know if this is a good thing or bad thing, but they were just picked by New York City as the official charging. And so we are on a little rise. Maybe wait for a little fallback. Hop in there for long term. They were at $27. They're at $327, I think.
Okay.
They got potential.
So back to San Francisco. Seems like...
I'm going to back away from the microphone, Timothy.
They could have gotten a little bit more, you know, like, did you see where they cut those cords at? On several of those charging stations, they cut them like 16 inches down from the top of where they could have cut them.
It's
Ben. I've got a statement that I always say in situations like these. We don't catch the smart ones.
That's right. We don't. This is just the first thing that came to my mind. Like,
here's,
I'm looking on this and I'm like, you know, if I were stealing the copper off of these, I probably would have cut it all the way to the top to maximize my profit.
Here's
there.
The thing.
But we don't catch the smart ones.
Here's the thing, Ben. You're forgetting that, and you also, Joel, the smart ones realized that there was $899 worth of copper. If you cut it there at 16 inches.
Right.
They were so smart.
They knew they were smart.
They were so smart that they realized that if they did get caught, they would not be prosecuted. Newsom, we weighed.
They call that the Gavin Newsom
thing. Now, one took one for the team when he cut the whole thing.
Right.
And he took it into the scrapyard, and they said, well, we got you. And tell me, if you bring in a Tesla cord to a scrapyard, who's the perpetrator here?
Right.
The guy that's like, oh, we'll take that Tesla plug there.
Seemed like a...
It's shocking.
It is shocking. Yes. I see what you did.
They must have cut those one at a time.
It does seem like a bit of a castration of the EV market on display.
It really does.
Yeah. And now that it went viral on X, Joel, why don't you look this up? See if this is happening in other places other than San Francisco. I would bet money that it is. I would say it's probably an epidemic with just these random cords giant cords with copper in them hanging there just for anyone to walk up and just cut them off would probably be quite an epidemic around the country right now.
It's like a...
Ooh. Thieves are targeting high-powered Tesla and other EV charging stations and
maybe
stealing the heavy cable for the copper metal inside. In Vallejo, someone cut cables from 9 charging stations.
Maybe hold off on that Blink investment.
Leaving Tesla drivers in a bind and causing tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, because then what?
Damage and repair.
Can't charge your car because some thief come and cut all the copper out of them.
Well, I'm starting a diesel generator.
For $10 in scrap.
A mobile diesel generator charging station.
Charging station.
Going to head to this, to the Bay Area, fix their problem.
So, yeah, that's our weekly San Francisco story.
What's better? Tell me this.
They don't even have diesel.
If I had to make you pick, I know I'm going to import the diesel. But if you had to pick, if you had to pick your San Francisco story of the week or Florida Man story of the week?
Oh, boy, that's a tough one, too.
Don't make me choose.
That's a tough one.
Don't make me sing.
But look, you know, hey, like Joel said, we don't catch the smart ones.
Unbelievable.
And those are usually taxpayer subsidized charging stations, well, I will say.
I will say, I just said what you said, but, you know, Elon's not the most popular fella. Mm-hmm. What if Soros is just hiring crackheads to cut the cord?
Oh, it could be, right? Speaking of protesters,
get the silver hats, Joel.
That's what we have up next. Okay, so this is great. A man eats a shish kebab right in front of a vegan protester, and I'm telling you, it's greatness. Watch this.
It feels fucking good. You and your small dick and your pussy way of killing animals, and it feels good.
Apparently, he was a hermaphrodite.
Is that not greatness?
Give this
guy a medal.
I want to shish kebab.
Okay, we gotta play this again. Look at the cop that appears in the upper right hand corner. Okay, hold on. I'm gonna do full screen.
But
so they're at like a New York City street. And there's a bus going by that says, I love New York.
Her shirt says animals are something.
Must have been Ash Wednesday. Look at this girl. She's got
an
ash mark on her forehead. But
hold on. I'm Googling it. When is Ash Wednesday?
That's been a while back, actually.
It's been a minute. But
so
it takes a minute for these to surface with these just cutting.
So watch this.
It feels fucking good. You and your small dick and your pussy wet.
Okay, look at the cop in the back. Both the cops in the background right there.
Looks like the Blues Brothers
look
back
at their
there
faces.
Just grinning.
This is John Belushi.
They're just loving this. I mean, the entertainment value of this. Now, but watch this guy that appears over in the right side corner.
I'm killing animals, and it feels good. Feel all the blood on your face, and all the blood on your hands.
That was just teriyaki. There was no blood. But my goodness.
He is
Could you imagine just
why am I
out
here?
In New York enjoying a shish kebab?
Yep. And a protester seems to walk by and...
And he eats like my sweet great uncle.
He never missed a beat on that shish kebab, I'll tell you that.
No.
He was cleaning up.
Mm-hmm.
John Castleberry eating that shish kebab.
I just thought that was priceless, man.
It really is. That was our...
I mean, here's the thing. Like, I think we may need to bring the insane asylums back, boys. It's getting out of hand out
the
there.
The padded cell.
I don't think
it's gone the way of the buffalo.
They I don't think they ever went away.
We still have
Joel,
them.
Joel,
they're just out there on the street now.
They're out there.
But, I mean, it's like lots of people seem to be earning the pronouns of feral child these days. I mean... When did mental illness become such a fad is what I want to know. But it seems to be quite the fad these days. Next up.
It's the fluoride.
Our own Senator Eric Schmidt from Missouri. A clip from a hearing where he is questioning the Secretary of Navy regarding the firing of our troops because they refused to take the vaccine. We've talked about this on the podcast on several occasions. I had Bill Hardwick on as well talking about this issue. But during a Senate Armed Services Committee hearing, Missouri Senator Eric Schmidt questioned Navy Secretary Carlos Del Toro about the impact of diversity, equity, and inclusion courses and the COVID vaccine mandates on recruitment levels for the military. Schmidt specifically mentioned the firing of service members who refused the COVID-19 vaccine, to which Del Toro responded that they were fired because they disobeyed the law. Del Toro also mentioned that none of the fired service members wanted to come back to the Navy when contacted. And he said it as if it was a good thing. This exchange, I think it just highlights the ongoing debate over the consequences of the vaccine mandates in the military, their effects on recruitment, and I think Senator Schmidt did a great job with this. But watch this video and how that he questions the Secretary of the Navy. It's good stuff.
You believe Do you want all the members of your team to feel like they're included?
Well, I have a question. Do you believe that you were an ally for the 1,878 soldiers who were fired or the 3,746 Marines who were fired for not taking the COVID shot? Were you an ally for them?
Sir, I followed the laws. They disobeyed
the law. Did they feel included?
They disobeyed a law.
They were fired.
They were fired because they disobeyed the law.
Do you regret that? Do you regret that?
Currently existed. I have no regrets whatsoever.
You have recruitment challenges. You refuse to admit that DEI is a part of this. You're firing qualified people who are well-trained, and you sit here so smugly to act like none of that has any impact on the readiness of our Navy.
Senator, we recontacted 3,500 of the 4,800 people who were fired. You know how many actually decided to come back to the Navy?
How many?
Two.
Shocker.
Two.
Shocker at the level of disrespect they receive from their government.
Ooh.
Do you like Eric Schmidt?
I do.
Navy beans.
He's
Navy
great.
Beans.
Do you feel like we have in Missouri, like
we've got a all-star team?
Meatloaf, I think so too. Sandwich. Yep.
We really do.
Like you know, like you always hear about DeSantis and
right
and Abbott.
Missouri.
I feel like senator level.
Yes.
Sitting, we're very well represented.
As I sit across
our delegation to Congress, Senator Ann House.
But as
is
I sit
good.
Across from. A representative. I feel like that Missouri keeps it real.
In that
and
area,
represents.
Yeah.
But I thought that exchange was great.
I love it. And I love when Holly rips him up like that, too.
Mm-hmm.
I live for it.
He gave it
I
to
could
him.
Take a little level like, of I could watch
disrespect.
That.
So,
but that is disgusting.
It is. Yeah. And he actually said it with, like, he was proud of the fact
yeah.
that only two wanted to come back.
Got me a little fired up.
I know.
My cackles got up.
Boys, January can't come soon enough.
That's right.
Because Donald Trump's going to win.
That's right.
And we're going to take this country back.
We are. We're going to fire all these woke generals.
Idiots.
I just hope that everything that these weasels are serving up. Like, I think that Trump has had such a nasty drag through the mud. Maybe he realizes what he's up against. And, I mean, they're
really
soft-serving him something nasty
mm-hmm.
in the way of the economy. I mean, the immigration situation. I can't imagine that there's a Democrat out there, including old Sleepy Joe, that wants to deal with the poop storm.
Right.
It's a tsunami.
It's a mess. That's
a tsunami
fact.
Of caca.
So next
that
up.
They're wanting to serve up to our next.
This is a great one. So
carry on.
A woman in an unhappy marriage tries to poison her husband and he catches her without her knowing, actually, initially. So let me paint you the picture here. A woman in Arizona, her name is Melody Felincano Johnson.
Where do you find this stuff, Ben?
Had a unique approach to spicing up her marriage by literally spicing up her husband's coffee with bleach every morning. You know, because who needs a divorce lawyer when you can have a chemistry experiment in your kitchen? So her husband, Roby Johnson, was no fool, though. He noticed that the coffee was tasting a bit off, you know? Like a cross between a swimming pool and a bad day at the office. So he did what any reasonable person would do. He set up a hidden camera to catch his wife in the act, and catch her he did. So the video we're going to watch here in a minute shows Melody pouring bleach into the coffee pot like she was making a secret potion to turn her husband into a frog. But Roby, being the clever airman that he was, he pretended to keep drinking the coffee to gather more evidence. He even used pool testing strips to confirm that his coffee was indeed as chlorinated as a public pool. So the
she was using bleach instead of water?
Yes. So he caught her red-handed, pouring bleach into his coffee. Finally, he gathered enough evidence to take it to the police. So she was eventually charged with attempted first-degree murder, but she pleaded guilty to lesser charges. In the end, she was sentenced to 3 years of probation. So the moral of the story is, don't buy your husband an amateur chemistry set for Christmas, Tim.
Or a GoPro.
Right. So watch Babe. This video. This is the first one, okay?
It's a guilty look.
You know, this is going to be an episode guaranteed. Of Dumbest Criminals.
So this is a video of him looking into the coffee pot later.
Purple. Boom.
Boom.
He sticks the chlorine strip into the coffee pot and it comes out purple. He said boom.
Nothing.
We don't catch.
What's the...
We don't catch the smart ones.
And then here's another picture. You can see her doing the same thing, putting the bleach in. And then here's an overhead shot of the bleach going into the container. So, I mean, caught red-handed.
Give me one second. I got something good brewing.
Brewing?
Coffee joke.
There's a coffee joke. Okay.
Listen to this one real quick.
The best part. I'm Craig Smith at Pima County Superior Court, where they just had a sentence in a sort of a strange case that acquired an awful lot of attention. This was the case of Melody Johnson, who was charged with poisoning her husband's coffee.
About to drop
it. It was
the
originally
hammer.
Set up as an attempted murder charge, and then it got reduced down to a plea where she pled guilty to a charge of attempting to poison the man's coffee. They were having some marital problems, and the man determined that she had been trying to put chlorine bleach in the coffee maker in an attempt to poison him.
The worst part of waking up is Clorox in your cup.
And it would be too.
Oh, that was burning.
That deserves the.
Thank you, Ben. I feel like I'm on a sitcom.
Remember when they do the can laughter?
Oh, yes, I needed a can of laughter. The worst part of waking up is Clorox in your cup. She's going. So what was the?
What a fool!
She's gonna be. This is an episode of Dumbest Criminals that I got a front row seat to, due to the education I receive on the caucus.
Unbelievable! Unbelievable! And then last of all, but not least, oh man, this one's even better.
Ben,
so
you've kept it so light.
Princeton students end a hunger strike after 10 days, citing health concerns.
We didn't see it coming.
And they implement a new strategy. Wait for it. A rotary hunger strike.
That's kind of like what I learned about this week about a filibuster. Everybody's getting a little bit of sleep still.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing.
Well, yeah, you know, you got to do what you got to do, right?
If it was a filibuster where you just, you had to keep not only a, what is it? The group?
Quorum.
Quorum.
A quorum,
not
yes.
only did you have to keep a quorum.
Yes, of course.
We're just going to sit here and see
mm-hmm.
who runs out of coffee first.
So... just a little piece of trivia regarding filibusters. There have been senators who have had a catheter fixed so that they could filibuster longer and not have to go to the bathroom.
I think I would just pull out the old... here's the thing. When I'm on a road trip, Ben, I purposely get large-mouthed 1 liter water bottles because... what goes in must come out.
Yes, of course.
I would be a senator to be reckoned with when it came filibuster time.
So these, back to the Princeton students. They decide to go on a hunger strike to protest something. I don't even know. I mean, like,
a hunger strike.
I'm not sure what it is anymore. Let's face it. Like, who can keep up with the ever-changing list of things that offend college students these days, right? Apparently.
I know I bring it up a lot, but what happened to the redwoods?
Yeah.
Just climb a redwood.
Right. Just protest up in there.
Build a fort.
So anyway, after a grueling 10 days of not eating, they realized that their bodies needed more than just the satisfaction of making a political statement. So they ended their hunger strike due to health concerns, I quote. I mean, who would have thought that not eating could be bad for you? But fear not. They have a different plan now. They don't want to give up their cause because they just implemented a rotary hunger strike. So they decided to take turns not eating. You know, kind of like a game of dietary musical chairs.
Yeah.
You might say. It's a perfect solution for those who want to make a statement but not have any inconvenience of being hungry. So let's listen up to what they had to say when they break hunger strike.
Not being disparaging, but this woman here needed 30 more days of this hunger strike.
I don't think
hold the phone. And by phone, I mean megaphone. And by megaphone, I mean triple chain megaphone. Look at it.
Three megaphones.
That's three megaphones, and they're all just holding the microphone of the other megaphone.
You guys know
that to get louder?
I don't know.
You guys know the doctor that out of Houston that does the lap band surgeries on my 600-pound life?
Oh.
The Indian fella. Mm.
I thought that was in Tijuana.
No, it's in Houston.
Everyone I know goes to Tijuana.
So you guys carry on. I'm going to do some.
This is one of those videos where there's so many things that you can't even focus on one thing. Look at the guy in the back. He's got the keffiyeh on, right? The scarf, right? You got the megaphones, and there's several people in this picture who are definitely not, let's say, not wanting for the lack of calories. So listen up.
This is absolutely unfair. My peers and I, we are starving. We are physically exhausted. I am quite literally shaking right now, as you can see.
I feel like I'm
watching it. We are both cold and hot at the same time. We are all immunocompromised. And based on the university's meeting yesterday with some of our bargaining team,
she hasn't
skipped a meal. They would love to continue physically weakening us.
Can I share a little something?
I truly do not feel like I'm doing anything special. This is my choice, and I would not spend my birthday doing anything other than being here and standing in solidarity with you all and standing in solidarity with our siblings.
Here comes the drums again.
Can't believe they're doing that without any squelch.
Right.
No matter how physically weak
the daisy chain.
United, we have never been stronger. Our resolve has never been stronger.
Baby girl, don't play. hunger strike.
On my 600-pound life, Dr. Nalzaradin, he was, this lady was saying that she was starving, and he said,
You're okay. You will not fade away.
You will not fade away.
Anyway, she had been on a 10-day hunger strike.
She had a few stored calories that might be able to be used. Said,
it is okay. You will not fade away.
You will not fade away. What I thought is we ought to get the guy, the shish kebab guy, to go to the hunger strike.
Truly.
Would that not be...
It would end it.
Right.
That man ate a shish kebab.
Right.
I know what I'm going to prepare when I get home tonight.
Mm-hmm.
A shish kebab.
Mm-hmm. So that's it, boys. That's the week's news. Like it, love it, hate it,
leave it.
Leave it.
Just don't.
The world is a mess.
Don't make it any Clorox coffee.
Yeah. Lots of things to keep in mind with that one, right?
Ben, you kept it super light this week.
Well, you know, I felt, needed it. I felt it to be necessary.
Oh,
so
what a blessing.
Yeah. With that, hey, don't forget, you can go over to iTunes, leave us a review. You can go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review.
Spotify.
You can go to Spotify and leave us a 5-star review as well. And don't forget to subscribe in all of those platforms that you might use out there. And thank you guys for hanging in there with us for another week of the Man Cave Caucus podcast. So with that,
God bless.
We'll catch you next week.